In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we've been studying the Christian's hope and looking at the words of Jesus from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're going to continue this study in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at what Jesus meant when he said, "For I go to prepare a place for you." The sacrifice of Jesus provided the way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But he also prepares the place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. There will be new heavens and new earth, wherein the righteous will dwell, and Christ will come again. "I will come again," he said. The separation of Christ going into heaven to prepare us a place is not forever. He will come again, and he said that where I am, there ye may be also. This return was not the resurrection of Jesus, but his second coming. Christians joyfully expect Christ to come from heaven to receive us to himself and to return there with us. To this end, Jesus prayed for his disciples, "Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." John 17:24. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will be the Father's honor." John 12:26. "All preachers of the gospel whom I have heard and all who have taught the word of God by pen have preached and taught the second coming of Christ. All who have preached and taught the gospel since Christ ascended from the earth have preached and taught the same. If preachers do not preach and teach that, they do not preach and teach the gospel. But preachers who preach and teach the particular time when Christ is coming are preaching more than the gospel, and more than what Jesus says that even he and the angels knew. Not only does one not know the day nor the hour when Christ will come, but we also read in other passages that his coming will be sudden. We're not told to go out and look for signs of his coming, because there will be no sign. He'll come like a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye, at a time when many are not ready. And so we need to watch and stay ready for his coming. Now there's another text in the Sunday school lesson. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And we read in verse 1, "For we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The "for" of this verse connects the hope of eternal glory which Paul had with which all Christians now have, as expressed in verses 16 through 18 of this chapter, of chapter 4, with the same hope and blessed assurance of obtaining its full fruition, described in the verses of this lesson, and more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. This glory is superlatively great, great beyond comparison and beyond human comprehension. What is the earthly house of our tabernacle? Well, the word tabernacle means tent, and that is a temporary dwelling place. The margin in the King James Version, or in the American Standard Version, calls it the bodily frame. Job in Job 4 and verse 19 mentions is made of those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust. And in Job chapter 10 and verse 9 it is said, Thou hast fashioned me as clay, and thou wilt bring me unto dust again. In 1 Corinthians 15:47 we read, The first man is of the earth, earthy. And Peter, in 2 Peter 1:13 through 15, speaks of being in this tabernacle, but that the putting off of his tabernacle will come swiftly, and calls that his decease or departure, there in the margin, in Luke 9:31, the body is the house of the soul, and is the outward man. The soul is the inward man. The outward man is decaying and will be dissolved. The inward man is renewed day by day. But while we are studying the meaning of the earthly house and the building from God, the very practical and most important lesson of being prepared in heart and character for this building from God must not be overlooked, because God, in His mercy and wisdom and justice and grace, will have the house not made with hands ready for all who are prepared for it. We must not work for the things which are seen, that is, which are temporal, but with the heart placed upon the things that are above, we must work for that which is spiritual. A building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It is in contrast with the earthly house of our tabernacle. Then, what is that which has been made with hands and that which has been made without hands? While the body is the tabernacle, and that's meant, all which pertains to its existence, which has been built by hands, is vanity and glory, must be included. Just as the house not made with hands includes the eternal dwelling place of the inward man, which is renewed day by day and made ready for it. Peter, in 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 13, declares that 1,000 years with God is as one day, and that the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and that the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up, and that these things are thus all to be dissolved. The cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, and all that it will inherit shall dissolve, and like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. The eternal dwelling place is called above in verse 2, My Father's house, in which are many mansions, the city of the living God, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, a heavenly country. We know by faith that when the dissolution just mentioned takes place, we have this building from God. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 2 through 4. For if barely in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon with that which mortal should be swallowed up in life. Clothed in this verse must mean the same as in the previous one. We read in verse 2, this earthly tabernacle or body, we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. And that our groans express our longing to enter the eternal habitation. Then clothed upon with a habitation is the idea in this verse. Being clothed means entering into this house not made with hands, but which is from heaven. Not found naked must mean, then, the opposite of being clothed upon with. This habitation, which is from heaven, hence having no such habitation, the righteous will not only put off this earthly, mortal, decaying, and dying body, and put on an immortal, incorruptible, spiritual one, but will dwell in their Father's house forever. I want to read to you from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 42. For also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so we read back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, for indeed we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. All faithful servants of God with Paul feel the burden of the mortal body with its frailty, weakness, trials, decay, and death. The whole creation, having been subject unto vanity, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and even we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Suffering such persecutions as Paul and the early Christians did, Paul declares with great joy, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18-25. Not for that we would be unclothed, but that we should be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. This is the meaning and conclusion of all that is said above, that all that is embraced in mortality and things pertaining to it must be so overcome as to be swallowed up in life, eternal life, with all that it means, as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 54. Paul does not mean that he's unwilling or that any Christian should be unwilling to bear the burden and endure any persecution in this life, or that he wanted to die, or that anyone should long to die before accomplishing the work God called him to do, but to be ready to enter into this eternal habitation.